Hello, and welcome to the China Business Brief, a podcast from the China Business Business Council, where we explain the latest news relevant to anyone working in or with the world's second largest economy. I'm Joe Cash, and I'm joined this week by the CBBC's UK-based policy analyst, Torsten Weller, to discuss how proposed changes to China's cybersecurity environment are likely to affect how British firms in China handle data and can incorporate China into their global R&D activities. It is an issue that has emerged as a policy priority for a lot of companies trading here of late. Torsten, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me again. I'm feeling great. Happy to talk about the new Chinese data rules.
So we've got two policy drafts to consider, the data security law and the personal information protection law, both of which came out in late April and are already beginning to make waves amongst the business community. So what are they? And I guess the PIPL, for short, how does that compare with GDPR, which companies in the UK might be more familiar with already?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, PIPL, I usually call it just PIPL, is certainly the more important. It's usually called the Chinese answer to the EU's GDPR rules, and that's correct in many aspects. So, for example, the PIPL has a very strong consent clause, which is similar to the one that we know from the GDPR. So you have to ask users for the user's consent to sharing data, to using data. You also have to give them a possibility to opt out of kind of automated processing, which is often used to kind of like match user data with certain kind of ad content or to like product recommendations. So this is all very similar to the GDPR. On the other hand, there are a few elements that are quite different. One positive thing that PIPL has that the GDPR doesn't have is that it's a separate paragraph on what happens if a user dies. So PIPL clarifies that if somebody dies, close relatives automatically have the right. So that has been an issue in many other countries. So the PIPL actually goes beyond GDPR here. What's actually more important for businesses are two crucial parts of the law. The first one is, how do you transfer data across borders? So if you have, for example, a company or a subsidiary in China, so how do you analyze this data from outside of China? So here, the new rules are pretty strict. So you have to conduct an audit, you have to receive a license, which will likely be handed out by the Chinese Ministry of Information Technology and Industry. And you have to make sure that you follow all the security measures required by Chinese regulators. The other crucial element is the liability clause. So China is actually very strict here. So it demands that companies have a specific entity that supervises data protection policy. This entity has to be independent. You can also have an external supervisor who has to be based in China. And this person, or the person in charge of this entity, can be held personally liable for any data violation. So that is very, very strict.
And that's very different to what we have in Europe with GDPR. You do not have the concept of individual liability. Am I right in thinking that to transfer data freely between China and the EU, both China and EU would have to have secured an adequacy agreement first? Is that the case, or am I misguided there?
I mean, there's no such agreement yet. So it's just that the initial draft had such a clause that said that if Chinese government recognizes GDPR as sufficiently secure, then it's kind of safe to transfer data from China to EU.
So is this likely to become a burden for British companies that want to transfer consumer data out of China, or they want to transfer other types of data, perhaps relevant to their R&D activities here?
That it definitely will become a problem. So foreign companies and UK companies operating in China will have to look at where they store their data and whether they have the necessary kind of paperwork to transfer data. So it won't be as easy as it used to be, and it will be a kind of much more regulated process. So if you, for example, have a research project, or if you want to transfer data kind of for analytical purposes outside of China, you will have to make sure that you're compliant with Chinese rules.
And could you provide us a bit of background into why these steps to make China's data regime perhaps more robust have come around? Is this because of consumer backlash, or is this acknowledgement that China needs a stronger data regime because of similar measures in Europe, such as GDPR?
There are two drivers, actually. You're right. So consumer backlash, growing awareness about data protection is one reason. But if you look at where China's data protection regime comes from, so in Europe, for example, it comes from the idea from the concerns about data privacy of consumer data. In China, it came from the opposite direction. It came from the idea of national security. So the first law that addressed it was the cybersecurity law, which was really about critical infrastructure. So in Europe, we are now talking about critical infrastructure. So we have taken the opposite path. But both have kind of ended up because you design such a law, you need to be very consistent in terms of how you define data, how you protect it, how you kind of store it. So even if you start from opposite ends, you kind of end up almost at the same finish line. Yeah,
that makes sense. And do we have an estimate for when the PIPL will be passed and will come into law in China?
Not yet. So we have an estimate for the data security law, which will likely be passed by the end of this month. But it's probably safe to assume that PIPL will likely be either passed this year or then at the next year's two sessions.
Sure. And you mentioned the data security law. So turning our attention to the other policy draft that we've got to discuss today, what's in the data security law and why is that important?
So the data security law is meant to be a framework law, so that kind of serves as a basis, common terminology for all the other data regulations. However, it has one very important element that is will become very important, in my view, is that it introduces a grading system. So it requires Chinese like state agencies, ministries, local governments to establish a hierarchy and to define what they consider important data. So important data, it will be considered like critical infrastructure data. So it requires like special permission to collect it. There's a question about the ownership. So can you store this data on private servers or do you have to store it on a Chinese state-owned server? So that is a big question. So unfortunately, there is not yet a uniform definition of what important data is. So it is clear that it does not only cover critical infrastructure, but also personal information like biometric data, geolocation data, addresses, financial information.
So really for British companies in China, it's going to be questions around transparency and understanding this legislation as it comes through. What are the alternatives to companies that have operations here, but they don't want to store data in China? Are there any alternatives? I know that Apple recently got in trouble with consumers because it was found to be storing Chinese consumer data in China. But is there any way of operating here and not having your data in China?
Not really. I mean, looking at the current regulations, it's pretty clear that China wants to have Chinese user data stored in China. There are certainly ways to kind of minimize this risk for your own operations. And as I mentioned, there will be discussions about whether we outsource this data kind of management or data storage to state-approved entities. But that is the current trend, which we've seen for Apple, which we've seen for Tesla. Tesla agreed to do the same thing, which we also see with regard to Ant Group and Tencent's financial operations. So that is clearly the trend that China wants to have this kind of sensitive data and important data stored on at least state-approved and transparent servers.
Right. Well, it's a policy that we're going to have to keep an eye on, and it sounds like we're going to have an update very soon. Torsten, thanks for joining us. This has been great.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this week's episode of China Business Brief. If you have any further questions on this topic, don't hesitate to reach out to Torsten directly at torsten.weller@cbbc.org. We'll be back in a fortnight's time with another episode of China Business Brief. Thank you for listening. The China Business Brief is a podcast brought to you by the China Britain Business Council. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you're subscribed. To find out more about our other events and activities, do check out our website at www.cbbc.org.